Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, that'd be my cue. That would be my cue. Good morning. February 23rd. Oh, I got this thing's playing. It's not supposed to be doing it. February 23rd, 2017. Lord's not making another one. Thanks for joining us here this morning at Coach Dave Live, Pass the Salt Ministries. Got a full queue this morning. Give a fair warning to some of you out there. You want to get in, you got to get in here early. And you say, well, Coach, it looks like it's the same faces every day. Well, it is a lot of the same faces. But I know that some of you are trying to get in, and I don't really know how to tell you. I don't really know how to tell you to do it. I mean, I do. If you go to CoachDaveLive.com, we go live. You can get on about 6:45. You can log in. But I'll be honest with you, it's probably spots already taken at 6:45 when we're live. A lot of guys jump on earlier than that. We send out a link in the morning. If you want to get on that email link, then shoot us an email. Say, hey, put me on that link. Because not only do we send out the morning link, but we send out tidbits throughout the day sometimes, or new links, or links to different commentaries, things like that. So if you want to be part of that, if you want to be part of that, I don't want to call it inner circle, but you want to get those emails, then you got to shoot me an email. And coach@ptsalt.com. We tried to set up coach@coachdavelive.com, and I think we set it up, but I don't know where it goes. I can't find it. I'm not very techie. Thank God for Jared, because he keeps me straight. But if you want to be in that list, then you let us know. We'll shoot you an email. And then in the morning, as soon as that link is opened, you'll get an email, and you can jump right in there and join us if you want to. Again, I hate to be redundant and repetitive and all that stuff, but the world is crazy. It is just crazy, and we are having more and more impact. I bragged yesterday, as you know, that Right Wing Watch is going to come after us, and morning, boys. Good to know that Right Wing Watch out there is watching us. I'm going to tip my cap to them. In fact, Jared, let's see here a minute. Jared, let's pull that up there real quick right off the bat here so everybody sees what I'm talking about. Right Wing Watch. So good morning. Morning. Daily Coast. My friend, my good friend, Elizabeth Johnston. I don't know if you saw this or not. She made the Drudge Report. Elizabeth did, because she was banned, the activist mommy. She was banned from Facebook. She was sent to Facebook jail for quoting the scriptures and regarding homosexuality. Not even in one of her videos. She just posted the scriptures about what it says about homosexuality, and they threw her in Facebook jail. Hey, somebody help me out here. If Roger was on here and we had a good attorney, maybe he could help me with this. But if they can make you bake a cake for a homo, can we make Facebook post what we say? I mean, aren't they both private organizations? Yet they can force a private organization to bake a cake for a homo, but Facebook says they're private. And they can censor what you put on their wall. Some lawyer out there looking to make $100 million. I know a good place to go. So it's funny. I rewatched last. Oh, I got to show you. Did you see my shirt today? Intolerance is a beautiful thing. So this is for all my right-wing watch and all those buddies out there. I'm proud of it. Some things you're not supposed to tolerate. You hear me? There's some things you're not supposed to tolerate. And for those, when they stand up against things that we shouldn't tolerate, intolerance is a beautiful thing. I give a pat on the back today for that pagan president we have that's going to sell us out and not do anything he said he's going to do and lie and cheat. And he's just a stalking horse for Hillary. That lying president that we can't trust, who's a pagan and is no good at all, yesterday rescinded the homo bathroom, the the transgender bathroom thing was taken down yesterday by the Trump White House. For a guy that sure is selling us out, he got a funny way of doing it, doesn't he, boys? Got a funny way of selling us out. And I want to just continue to emphasize to everybody that we can win, and we're going to win, and we are winning, but we have got to, I don't know why people call me, they must not know I'm on the air. We have got to double down our efforts. That's why some of us are going to go down to Texas. I'll be flying out tomorrow, be down there for the weekend. And we're going to go down there, we're going to stand up against child killings, child slaughter, child murder. Abolish abortion in Texas. I want to talk a little bit about that and some of the stuff that we talk here do today. The idea of interposition, or the idea of states' rights, or the idea of the American people standing up and saying, that's enough of it. I've had enough of it. I've had all it can stands, and I can't stands no more. So here's what right-wing watch yesterday. They said softball couldn't turn Dave Dobenmeyer's daughters into lesbians because they weren't cropped-haired, wide-bottomed girls. Amen. I said it. I believe it. That settles it. I mean, what am I supposed to say? Huh? And then you go down there, and I start getting some comments yesterday. It's amazing. See, listen, guys. We just got to tell the truth. Most people are afraid. They're afraid to do it. Usually when I send out something like this, I'll get people who will like it, but they won't share it. You know why they won't share it? Because they're afraid somebody on their wall is going to get angry with them. So they'll do a like, but they won't do a share. And I got a bunch of emails yesterday. Thank you, Right Wing Watch. I got a bunch from your homo friends, the one name callers. I got a bunch of those emails. But I also got a lot of emails from parents. You know what they said? You're right, coach. You're right. My daughters played softball, and they ended up, and those summer travels that they went to, they were just lesbian dens. I got five of those, at least five of those. That we, as I said yesterday, hang on. People get on me because they say I talk about homos too much. And then they say this, well, you must be closeted. You must be a homo. You talk about it a lot. No. It's the most diabolical, destructive thing in the American culture. That's why I talk about it. That's why I talk about it. It's a demonic spirit. A demonic spirit that would bring a confusion into someone's life and make a boy think that he loves boys. That ain't normal, folks. That isn't normal. And so you know what politically correctness is, being politically correct, you know what that means? It means I don't say it. That's what it means. I won't live like that. I won't live like that. So I gave a good warning out yesterday to all these mommies whose kids are playing softball. Be careful, because the lesbians are coming to get them. Anybody have any daughter, any experience with any daughters like that? I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just telling you the truth. No, not every softball player is a lesbian. No. But lesbians are embedded in female sports. More than homos in male sports. Right Wing Watch, you listening? See, it made all the rage when that Michael, what was that kid's name? That homo that wanted to play in the NFL? You guys all know who I'm. Michael Sam, there it came to me. Oh, first homo in the league. Oh, big deal. Why? Because homos don't play football. What? How come they're, you know what they ought to do? How about they do an article on the first heterosexual in the women's basketball league? The first heterosexual. That would be news, wouldn't it? That would be news. Because why? For whatever reason, female athletes. I'm sorry. I just have to tell you what I have observed. I've spent my whole life at softball parks with my daughters. It's breeding grounds. It's recruitment centers. Softball leagues, basketball leagues. Guys, listen. The whole idea of a woman wanting to be like a man, what do you think that spirit is? What do you think it is? I don't want to beat this dead horse, but I want you to know that they're watching this. Other than that, Jared, if you scroll down through this thing, it's pretty much what I said. I'll give Kyle Mantilla. You watching this morning, Kyle? Thanks for joining us today, bud. Other than that, Kyle pretty much said what I said. And you know who supports Kyle? Homos. Homos, those who engage in homosexuality. You go to the comment section, they say all kinds of bad things about me. Well, all right, it's a war, isn't it? They're shooting their bullets, and we're shooting our bullets, and we're having a tete-a-tete back and forth. But I know that sometime, somewhere out there, someone is going to be rescued because of this, because Right Wing Watch helped us out there. Some mother's going to read this. Some poor floundering homosexual is going to come to his senses, be pulled out of that thing. Time out. Guys, I'm not trying to bore you. Can I stay on this a second? Can I show you something? This is just use your brain. Something, of course, they don't teach us in schools anymore. You're born gay, right? That's what they tell us. Born homosexual. And then say, well, I was born, I switch hit. Softball term. I swing both ways. I'm bisexual. Wait a minute. What? That sounds sick to me. I thought your gender determined one or the other. And you tell me that your gait swings both ways? And you're born with your gait swinging both ways? You're sick. You're sick. We're sick, see? Because we accept these lies. Oh, they're born gay. Well, how about somebody that swings, does both? You born that way too? Are you born with a propensity that, well, you know where I'm coming from, right? Yeah, I don't want to get bogged down. I'm in chapter 8 of Romans this morning. Anybody want to amen or oh my what I just said there? Hey, did I call it yesterday? Did I say we were going to make Right Wing Watch? Did I say that? I did say that, didn't I? Hey, Kyle, I hope you're watching this morning because I'll give you some more stuff here today too. I wrote a commentary today at News with Views. I hope I get to a little bit here because I entitled it, what'd you call it, Coach Dave? Fake Gospel Produces Fake Christians. Thumbs up on that one, Wayne. Fake Gospel Produces Fake Christians. And I want to take you to Romans chapter 8. Actually, let's go to 7. Let's go to 7, Jared. I'm sorry. Boy, this is just too good. I should quit reading backwards because it's just too good. I'm in 7:14. For we know that the law is spiritual. I'm going to pause right there. When's the last time you thought about that? The law was spiritual. Say, Coach, how can that be? The Ten Commandments tell us all the things we can't do in our body, with our body. We can't steal. We can't lie. We can't commit adultery. How can that be spiritual? Well, because the law gives you power, spiritual power over your carnal body. For we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do, Paul says. If then I do that which I don't want to, I consent under the law that it is good. Now then, it's no more I that do it, but it's sin that dwells in me. Fellas, homosexuality is a sin. Being a homosexual is not a sin. Engaging in the activity is a sin. As Rich said, he could be a serial killer, right, Rich? That's not a sin. As soon as you slice off somebody's head, it is. For the good that I do, well, I'm sorry, 18. For I know that in me dwell no good thing. For the will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I just can't figure that one out, Paul said. For the good that I would do, I don't do. But the evil which I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. Now, if I do that, which I don't want to do, it's no more I that do it, but the sin that's in control of me. Understand? Controlled by sin. Homosexuals are receiving in themselves a due punishment for that which is meet. It's who they've become. The sin is controlling them. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death? See, sin brings you a body of death. See? The soul that sins, it shall die. Don't miss that. Not the body that sins will die. Your body's going to die anyway. The soul that sins, it will die. The soul that sins, it will die. Let's go to the next chapter, Jared. There is thou, therefore, no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, condemnation is the idea that you've been found guilty and condemned. When you receive Jesus, you're no longer found guilty and condemned. When you receive Jesus, you are guilty but forgiven. There's a difference. There's no condemnation. You are not condemned to death anymore through the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life, there it is, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has canceled that other law. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from that other law of sin and death. What's the law of sin and death? The soul that sins, it shall die. With me, guys? Trying to make this clear. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak because of the flesh, God sent his own Son in likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. If you think you are identified by how you do sex, that is who you become. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, or to think in my natural mind, is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. So then that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Steve Minking, not putting the onus on you, but if a man is caught having sex with another man, it seems to me that doesn't please God. That's in the flesh. Huh? Anybody disagree with that?
Well, Coach, I'm on board with you. I think may have skipped over verse 6 there, and that might get right to the point. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Hmm. So we're presented with this choice, this dichotomy. And the choice that we should make is very clear, but just like you read in Romans 7, Paul says we want to make that right choice, that good choice, but there's this battle between our two natures. This is why we have to crucify and get rid of the old man.
That's right.
There's no room for it. It can't coexist. And so I think part of the mixture, part of the coexisting of these two different natures, the conflict between our soul and our spirit and our body and the rest of it, makes life extremely complicated unless we focus on the true path of Christ. But, you know, carnally minded can apply to all sorts of different things.
Amen. Amen.
It can apply to food. You know, not just sexual proclivities and appetites, but it's death nonetheless.
That's right. Alcohol, food, pick whatever sin it is. If you're carnally minded, if you're controlled by the natural urges of your flesh, it's death. It's very, very clear it's death. Verse 13, then I want to move on here. Hang on, Mike, I saw you. For if we live after the flesh, you're going to die. But if you live through the Spirit, you mortify the deeds of your body. You kill it. You shall live. There it is. There it is. Oh, for as many as led by the spirits of God, where's Larry? They are the sons of God. Hey, Sarge, if you're not led by the Spirit of God, are you a son of God?
That would be very questionable.
That would be very questionable, wouldn't it? Yeah, which brings me back to my commentary that I wrote today. Go ahead, Michael. I can tell you're itching to say something.
Well, the point is that
Yeah, the very words you use, it's all mental. See, it's all in the mind.
Yep.
That's where the hell is. It's up here in the mind. And when you change your thinking, you change the world around you, and you change the world that you are a part of. And like I said, I remember Virginia talking to a guy who was homosexual. He came up and told her that he was homosexual, and she said, "Yeah, you only think you are." And it just devastated him. He didn't know what to do, because it's the truth. It's in the mind. If I think about something that is carnal, I'm going to go pursue it. But if I change my thinking, which is in Christ's mind, then I don't pursue that which the flesh is prone to.
Amen. Amen. That's the power and the freedom of the gospel of Jesus. The law of spirit and life, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death is what? Soul that sins, it shall die. The spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes you free from that. So I wrote this commentary. I want to get to this real quickly here. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you because you guys can read it. I talk about fake news, and fake news is bad, and fake news has given us lies in our culture. We accept all types of lying. Scroll down there a little bit, Jared. I want to share something, because we don't even call lies lies. That's what startles people when they listen to our show here. We call sin sin. We call it what it is. And see, we don't even do that. I said this up here. Go back up. Just one thing. Right, one more, Jared. There. My dad said this to me one time. You remember Bill Jones who opened the grocery store, don't you? Well, he didn't stay in business very long because word got around town that he was not an honest businessman. He was putting his thumb on the scales when weighing the ground beef. Folks in this town don't take kindly to crooks. That simple statement from my dad carried a very valuable life lesson. Crooks would not be tolerated and certainly would not have the support of the townspeople. But today, using those adjectives to describe people is no longer acceptable. We've exchanged those diabolical descriptions for nice sounding words like misspoke or ladies man or public servant. Well, heck, today even baby murder is called choice. Those who kill the babies are called doctor, and the murder itself is called healthcare. That's a pretty good line there, isn't it? Fake words. Fake words lead to fake behaviors. Fake behaviors lead to fake laws. Fake laws lead to fake justice. Fake justice leads to fake liberty. Fake liberty leads to a fake God. Fake God leads to fake Christians. Jesus said that people have eyes and ears, yet they can't discern the truth, reality. So I came up with five lies that we're being told. Bear with me here, guys. My wife told me to go out and get a helmet because I was probably going to need it. Lie number one, we're all God's children. It's a lie. Now, this has hindered the gospel. Do you understand this? This has hindered the gospel. I have no idea where this dastardly lie came from, but nothing could be further from the truth. Although we were created in the image of God, only those who carry the name of Christ are his children. In fact, in more than one place in the scriptures, we're told that the devil has children, and many of us are in the devil's ancestral tree. Nowhere in scripture will you ever find the lost being called God's children. Google it. But yet, what are we taught? It's destructive to the gospel. Are you with me, guys? It's destructive to the gospel. Number two, the lie that Jesus loves everyone. This one always makes me want to gag. Although the most famous scripture in the world, John 3:16, tells us that God so loved the world, you'll have a hard time finding a verse that says that the love of Jesus is universally applied. It is universally available, but the love of Christ is conditional. Whosoever is not a term that includes everyone, but rather it excludes others. It's in nature. Jesus loves his children, not the devil's children, although his love is available to them. God hates all workers of iniquity. I think that refers to those who actively and purposefully engage in disobedience to God, which is called sin. Hey, boys, Jesus doesn't love everybody. This I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Bible don't tell you that. Am I missing it, Michael? Am I missing it? Do you guys know where that is? Can somebody show me where it says Jesus loves everybody? I'm open for rebuke. Three. These are lies that are destroying. Fake news, fake gospel creates fake Christians. Christians are not supposed to judge. One of the first things Michelle and I tried to teach our children was the ability to judge between good and evil. All people, if they have a lick of sense, make thousands of judgments a day. That's why we're often told that we use the terms good judgment or bad judgment. Judgment is nothing more than the ability to differentiate between good and evil, right and wrong. When we put out bad behavior, we're judging the action, not the person. Homosexual behavior is bad. Getting an abortion is bad. When woe to those who call evil good and good evil, that comes from the Bible. So how can you determine good from evil if you don't judge? Number four, I got a real good zinger coming here. The Lord gave me this one last night. Jesus accepts you the way you are. Sorry, boys, not true. You can come to Jesus the way you are, but you cannot remain in a relationship with him if you continue to live in the condition in which you came to him. Jesus requires confession, repentance, and a turning away from your evil ways. Accepting Jesus gives you the power to become children of God, but it doesn't automatically make you a child of God. How do I know? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do his will become his children. Buckle up, boys. Here it comes. I got this one fresh last night. Jesus transforms you into a brand new creature. He crucifies the old you. You die, he lives. You are no longer you, but Christ takes up residence in you. Here you go, Rich. He loves you so much, he commands you to die. Thumbs up on that one, boys. It's how much he loves you. Die. Yeah, I love you. Die. Five, Jesus died for your sins. Well, sort of. 1 John 3:8 tells us that for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus died to destroy sin, which is the devil's work, and sin's power in the world. Your and my salvation as a result of him destroying the power of sin over the world. Because Jesus died, and because I have received him as Lord, sin, death, hell, and the grave no longer have power over me. Sin, death, hell, and the grave are the works of the devil. Jesus destroyed their power over me. Scroll down, Jared. About done here, boys. I've accepted his finished work at Calvary, and I've applied his blood to my sin-sick life. He redeemed me. He paid my price and rescued me from the law of sin and death. The soul that sins, it shall die. See, Jesus died to destroy the power of sin in the world. My salvation is the fruit of that death. But, sorry, he didn't, as the songs say, have me on his mind when he went to the cross. It is finished, he declared as he hung on the tree. What was finished? His purpose for coming. The destruction of the devil's works. Watch out for the fake gospel. It leads to fake Christians. And it's far more dangerous than fake news. So put that in your pipe and smoke it, boys. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. See, I think Christianity, I could be careful because I don't want to come across as holier than thou. I believe it's an exclusive club. And wait a minute. Anybody can join it. But it's exclusive. It ain't many. It's few. It's not broad. It's narrow. And The whole point of the commentary that I wrote was the fact that we have taken things that aren't true about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and his death on the cross, and we've counterfeited them. It's fake. That is not true. What's that song? He, you are on his mind when he hung on that tree. What? No, you weren't. Are you kidding me? See, here's what it does, guys. Here's why it's dangerous. It glorifies, it raises man to a greater value than the Son of God. If we say Jesus came and died, he would have died on that cross even if it was you or the only one, just little old you. That ain't true. See, Jesus died on the cross to destroy the devil and the bonds and the bands that hold us, trap us down. Jesus so loved the world, he freed everybody who will come. It's conditional. All right. Reaction, comment. Say, Coach, you sure talked a lot about you today.
Coach, if you are a follower of Jesus, you're a separated one. You're not a part of the world around you. And you have to follow in that way. You have to walk separate from the world. And that means dying to the flesh, dying to those thoughts that are not centered in Christ. Sorry,
Michael,
just the way it is.
He loved you so much he told you to die. Yes or no? Huh? Yes or no?
Yeah, he did.
I really love you. Die, dude.
Right. He said, take up the cross and die to yourself and follow me.
Yep.
Simple steps.
How do we get this so confused? How have we gotten this so confused? The only way it could have possibly happened, again, is remember that the devil comes as an angel of light, right? And so these are good sounding terms that we've heard, or sometimes you'll hear them in songs and all that kind of stuff, and they're just not true. So here's a great time for a pause, a little scriptural interlude, if you will. It's fun, amazing how the Lord puts this together for me. I got a song right here with the lyrics, and I just want you to block everything out, and I want you to think about the reality of this song. Jared, you know what I want there? Go ahead and play that, man. Think about this.
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe.
Amen.
Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior, God to thee. How great thou art.
Amen. Can't even conceive of that, guys.
That's on the cross, my burden gladly bearing. He bled and died to take away my sin.
Thank you.
Yeah.
that God His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it. That on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul.
Listen, boys, I'm getting something ready here. I'm sending this to you, Jared. Sending this to you right now. It ain't about us. It ain't about us. And we've made Christianity about us. And all the things that God can do for us and all the blessings that He can give us. And we go to church and we worship God because it makes me feel so good. And I leave say, oh, I really felt the Spirit today. It's always about us. And we have so cheapened Almighty God. It's just, you know, when we see Him, we are going to fall on our face and say, oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. I've used this several times. I want to share this with you here. This is written by a guy named Wilbur Reese. It's profound. This is the average Christian. It's called $3 worth of God. I'd like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk. Or snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of God to make me love a black man. Pick beats with a migrant. No, I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, but not a new birth. I want a pound of the internal in a paper sack. I'd like to buy $3 worth of God, please. That's us, boys. That's the American Christianity. And until we get it, right, this kind of stuff is going to continue to burden us. My. Anybody? I'll shift gears on you. Quit being so sappy. I'll switch gears on you here.
Hey, Coach. Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Steve, go.
So the last verse you read in Romans 8, verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And it's interesting in the genealogies, Adam is called a son of God because he was created directly by God. We see this moniker applied to Jesus as well, even though he is uncreated. But to a certain extent, this speaks of the new birth that we have, the new life, where we do have to be born again in a literal spiritual sense, right, in order to claim this title, the Son of God. And right now, it seems like we're being led by the spirit of the age and not by the Spirit of God.
Boy, it's a different spirit for sure, isn't it, Steve?
Sure is.
And so it's looking like the real thing. We do walk an aisle. We do say a prayer. We do receive Jesus. But the Bible's very clear. We haven't become children of God, right? Because when he says, in that day, many are going to say, Lord, didn't I walk that aisle and say that prayer? He says, get up. Sorry, man. I never knew you. It's conditional. There's something you have to do. You have to trade your life for his life. And not everybody's willing to do that. And when that happens, there's a transformation that takes you out of the devil's family and puts you into God's family. It's powerful. Somebody else was going to say something. Rich, was it you?
Hey, Coach.
Sarge, go ahead.
Yep. Yeah, if you have $11 more, you can buy Joel Osteen's Your Best Life hard copy.
Maybe I can get a used one on Amazon. I'll see. Michael?
Coach, in that song, the best phrase is what Jesus did for us. He took sin off of us.
He did.
So that God sees us differently now because we accept his son and what he did for us. And like you said, it's what God is doing, not what we do. It's we accept what God has done for us, and that's why we give him the praise and not take it for ourselves.
Michael, he's Almighty God, whether we believe it or not, whether we accept it or not, whether we follow it or not. See, he is not conditional. He is God. He is I am. He is the great I am. He does not change. We change. We alter the scriptures. We alter behaviors. We do everything we can to mold him into that $3 paper mold of God that we want to have. And the greatest expression of his love for us is when he said, again, I love you so much, I need you to die. That's a powerful thought. Rich, were you jumping in here? No, I'm not trying to pull you in there. I thought maybe you did. I thought maybe you wanted to. Different perspective on it, isn't it? Okay. Man, where am I? I got 18 minutes left. I want to show Jared, pull up the Bill of Rights. Say what? Yep, pull up the Bill of Rights. Because one of the things that I was speaking about earlier, one of the things I wrote the commentary about is right and wrong. Just, it's simple. Right and wrong. And we are in a lawless society. Because we have, if I went back to that line in the commentary, I don't have it in front of me. Fake beliefs lead to fake. See if I can find it. Jared, could you find that real quick? Can you go back there? Because believe it or not, guys, when I write, I run under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I don't remember what I wrote. Go back up there where it says, there it is, right there. You just had it, Jared. Fake words. Fake words lead to fake behaviors. Gay. Got it? Gay leads to a fake behavior. Fake behaviors lead to fake laws. Men can marry each other. It's a fake law. Fake laws lead to fake justice. Got to bake cookies for them. Can't be on Facebook if you speak against it. Fake justice leads to fake liberty. We just think we're free. We're not. We're in bondage. We think we're free. Fake liberty leads to a fake God. And a fake God leads to fake Christians. There's so much fake, see? There's so much fake. We are altering and changing the commandments of God. And so why would we be surprised when we alter and change the commandments of government? Why are we shocked and surprised by that? Because we reached the point where they told us there was the separation between the church and state. So therefore, lying, stealing, coveting, adultery no longer applies to government. Do you see the facade? Do you see what they've done to us? They told us that the Supreme Court makes the laws now. The Supreme Court's the final arbiter. Well, that was never the way it was set up. It was never. So let's take a journey here real quick and think about, you know, America. They said America would be great if everybody just obeyed the Ten Commandments. And that's true. But America would be great if the government just obeyed the Bill of Rights. Like American Ten Commandments. Pull that up there, Jared. Bill of Rights. When's the last time you read the Bill of Rights? Hey, Pastor Wayne, I could preach on this. I could go into church Sunday and whip out the Bill of Rights. The first 10 amendments of the Constitution. Remember this. The Bill of Rights should have been called the Bill of Limitations because the Bill of Rights grants no rights. The Bill of Rights limits government. Our rights are God-given. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. There it is. Our rights come from God. They don't come from the Constitution. Our Constitution is the Ten Commandments of government saying, hey, government, don't violate these. Don't violate these. Go on down, Jared. Scrolling down. Let's get to the numbers real quick. This is where I've been trying to get for 3 days. Maybe I'll get to it a little bit more tomorrow. Bill of Rights. Here it is. Commandment number one. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. There it is. Congress, who makes the laws, can't make any laws respecting, we read them. How many of those are being followed today? By the way, peaceably to assemble? Rich, are they peaceably assembling out there in Ferguson? I don't believe they are. I don't believe they are. Two, it's simple. These are simple. If our government just followed these, we could close Washington down. A well-regulated militia being necessary. Hang on. A well-regulated militia being necessary for the cure, for security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, what does that mean? Shall not be infringed. What could that possibly mean? It means hands off. Hands off. Three. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. We don't think much about that, but that day may be coming too. Four. How about this one? Hey, IRS, the right of the people to be secure in their possessions, their persons, their houses, their papers and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath of affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be seized. Can you say Patriot Act? Did you know, guys, that when you sign your income tax form under penalty of perjury, you waive your Fourth Amendment right? Do you know if the income tax worked properly, they would send you a bill? Did you know that when you get audited by the IRS, they said, hey, listen, we'll see you in court on this day. And by the way, please bring all the evidence with you. You bring all your evidence? Flies in the face of the Fourth Amendment. The Patriot Act canceled the Fourth Amendment. Five, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment of indictment of a grand jury. Except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, not military, in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offenses to be put twice in jeopardy of life or limb. Nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself. By the way, income tax, you have to sign away, be a witness against yourself.
nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. These are the Ten Commandments of America. You can preach on every one of them. Number six. In all criminal prosecutions, how about this one, boys? The accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district where the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Trial should be bang, you're charged, and bang, it's over. Roger's not with us. The lawyers screwed us up there. Number seven. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved. You have a right to trial by jury for a speeding ticket. You know that? And no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of common law. We don't even know the rules of common law. I don't have time to get into that. Number eight, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Boy, huh? Cruel and unusual punishment. I don't know what you think. I think what they did to Ken Hovland was cruel and unusual punishment. They seized all of his assets. It's cruel and unusual. And it was against America's Ten Commandments. But here is where I'm getting to. Rich, this is why we're going to, among other things, this is why we're going to go to Texas. Because there's an attempt down there to outlaw abortion. Now, we've read the Ten Commandments. Let's go back up there, Jared. I'm sorry. Let's go to 4, I think it is, Jared. Let's go back there. Last line of Amendment 4. And particularly describing the place to be... No, I missed it. Where is it? No. There it is. I read the wrong... There we go. My eye must be getting old. There we go. Nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. An unborn baby is a human being with these amendments applying to him. Without due process of law, the Fifth Amendment of the Constitution applies to unborn babies. Okay, so let's go down. Last two. Okay, the enumeration, or that means the listing out, the spelling out in this Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. So just because all of these rights aren't spelled out doesn't mean you don't have them. And then, 10, by the way, I got the right to not bake a cake for a homo. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, why, those belong to the people, the states, respectively. So if we were to go through the U.S. Constitution, can anybody find the right for a woman to have control over her own body, or better yet, the right to kill an unborn child? Of course, it's ridiculous. Of course not. It teaches just the opposite. But if abortion were to ever be legal, it would have to be done in the states because it's a non-enumerated right. Are you with me? See, we have federalized everything. And now we got Trump in there. God bless Trump in there. God bless him. But he's given mandates from on high about how we have to behave. They don't have the right to do that. And so what's going on in Texas is what they call interposition, or nothing more than the 9th and the 10th Amendment being put into place, where the people are rising up and saying to the federal beast, you don't have the right to tell us to do that
because we have states' rights. It is not an enumerated right that you have. And the only way we will ever reclaim any semblance of liberty in this nation is for that federal judiciary beast to be confronted. That's the only way that can be done. Now, Jay, although it's not, I know it's not your name. I knew it was always going to stick in my head as Jay. What do we do if Texas passes a bill outlawing abortion?
We throw a party.
And then Elena Kagan and Sota Sotomayor, or whatever her name is, they say no. What should happen next?
We raise heaven.
So what should happen next, isn't it, brothers? We should raise heaven. And the only reason that we're under such tyranny is because we have not raised heaven. That's why we're going to go to, that's why we're going to go to Texas. I'm going to promise you, this battle's just beginning down in Texas. It'll be Texas today, it'll be Tennessee tomorrow. At some point, the states are going to rise up and they're going to defy that federal beast. That day is coming. It's coming. And it's been part of the plan of the devil, just like he's done in the church, to counterfeit the power or to take away the power from the people to the people, from God to the people, granted to the government. We've done the same thing in the church. The church is the barrier that stands between God and tyrannical government. And the church has pulled itself out of the debate and let the let God be eliminated, and so government becomes the all-powerful, unchallengeable force. That's what's at stake. I had the other stuff I was going to show you today, but I got on that rant earlier here, and I'm running out of time. Courts don't make law. The power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution or prohibited to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. My right to carry a gun shall not be infringed. New York, the state of New York, cannot say that I can't carry a gun. They cannot say that, but we let them say that. And when we let them say that, they throw us in jail when they arrest us without a trial by jury. Second time Larry's busting to get in here. Yeah, Larry.
Hey, I just wanted to say dead on, way to go. And that First Amendment, notice it says make no law establishing religion. Doesn't say you can't make a law defining it.
Uh-huh, or honoring it. In other words, Larry, they can't make everybody be Catholics. They can't make everybody be Church of England. They can't make everybody be a Baptist. They can't make everybody be a Methodist. But it in no way remove the fact that we are endowed by our Creator with these rights.
Yeah. And but they can make a law defining the parameters of what a religion can and can't be. And I think there should be a law that a religion can't be a group that calls for the death and harm and enslavement of others for not joining their club.
Are you speaking about Islam, Larry? No, you wouldn't. That's right. See, that shows how little we understand. See, we don't understand God's Ten Commandments. How could we possibly understand our nation's Ten Commandments? How could we possibly understand it? And so that's the fallacy we've fallen into. Bless you, Larry. Got others want to jump in here. Yeah, Michael.
I wanted to emphasize that if the state of Texas does what it follows through with what this man is putting forth as law, and they do it according to the state's ways, they got to keep out of the federal court system, period. The governor can stand up and say, this is what our law is here in our state. We hold on to it, and you keep your nose out of it. We've decided this here. The people have decided this. That's the way it should be. And that's what rights has its power.
That's called interposition, right? That's what interposition that is, that the governor or an elected official stands up and says no. By the way, that's what Judge Roy Moore did. And what was the church's reaction to what Judge Roy Moore did? Well, he's a lawbreaker. Why is he a lawbreaker? Well, because the court said he can't do that. Yeah, but the First Amendment says it can establish a religion. It can't make any laws or any rules. Shall not be infringed. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. The court said they could. Yeah, but the court doesn't have the power to do it. Well, it doesn't matter because the court says it has the power to do it. Yeah, but they don't have the power to do it. Well, it doesn't matter because they said they do. And it's happened because we in the church have allowed it to happen. And if we will not honor and protect God's Ten Commandments, we're never going to be able to protect our nation's Ten Commandments. About out of time. Somebody jump in here. Finish me off here.
And we're expected to call the judges Your Honor.
Your Honor. Your Honor. Right. Your Honor. So we've had a lot of wool pulled over our eyes, boys, and we are on a we're on a relentless pursuit of the truth here at Coach Dave Live. And I'll be honest. Well, that sounds like sometimes I'm not honest. We always try to bring the truth to you. And sometimes it might feel funny. And sometimes it might make your stomach growl. And sometimes it might make you have butterflies. And here's the truth, boys. Truth stands alone. The truth is a person. And the closer we align ourselves with truth, the more often that we stand and speak truth, the more often we stand and defend truth, the greater the opportunity that peace is going to come our way. Until we do that, until we stand for truth, there ain't no way that the Prince of Peace is going to be on our side. Bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow.